This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Japanese automakers get back in the game for now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Two of Japan's biggest car makers will begin production again in the next couple of weeks, if only for some of them at half capacity. Toyota and Nissan were shut down because of power and parts shortages from last month's earthquake and tsunami. The BBC's Rachel Harvey joins us now from Tokyo. Hi, Rachel.
Hello there.
What's this going to mean for Toyota and Nissan and the Japanese economy?
Well, short term, it's got to be good news, but it is only limited. Toyota said it's going to restart production at its domestic plants, but only for 9 days, from April 18th to April 27th. Then it doesn't know after that point. Same thing with Nissan. It said it's going to resume domestic production, but at half capacity from April the 11th. But Nissan is saying explicitly, we don't know how long we're going to be able to keep this going because of the acute shortage of component parts.
So a lot of uncertainty in the longer term. What does it mean, Rachel, for the global supply chain?
Well, it means at least it's an indication that there are some parts, but it's also an indication that the supply of those parts is still limited. As long as there's a shortage of power in Japan, as long as those factories are still out of action in the Northeast, then there is going to be a problem with parts. There just simply aren't enough to go around for everyone.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey in Tokyo. Rachel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Today, top economists and financial experts are back at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, to look at what still needs to be done to fix the current global financial system woes. Well, back in 1944, world leaders met in the same place to rebuild a world financial system destroyed by the Great Depression and World War II. We continue Marketplace's Economy 4.0 series, and special correspondent David Brancaccio reports.
The rewiring work on the financial system has gone on for 2 years now. Banks will have to keep bigger cushions of cash to prepare for the worst. The huge derivatives market will have some oversight. But are we finally on safe ground?
The world financial system is still in disrepair.
Robert Johnson is head of the Institute for New Economic Thinking that's organizing the conference.
We barely scratched the surface on derivatives reform, on the question of handling too-big-to-fail institutions. We have really done nothing.
This new Bretton Woods is not a policymaking gathering, although ideas discussed are likely to inform future policy, with influential experts on hand, such as former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers, and at least two winners of the Nobel Prize in Economics. Among the thorny issues to be explored, do governments actually have the power to regulate financial excesses when money so easily crosses borders? In Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
Time is running out for negotiators as the Democratic White House and congressional Republicans continue hammering for some kind of budget agreement. If they don't get one today, the government will partially shut down tonight at midnight. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher right now, more than 0.5%. The Nikkei today added nearly 2%. The Federal Reserve says borrowing was up in February by nearly 4%. Much of that increased because of car and student loans. Credit card borrowing fell by about 4%. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow slipped 17 points to close at 12,409.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
In Britain, media giant News Corp is about to get even bigger. The company that owns Fox News and the Times of London is working out a deal to take control of one of the UK's biggest satellite television broadcasters. But as Christopher Worth reports, not everyone's on board with the deal.
Rupert Murdoch has his eye on British Sky Broadcasting, or BSkyB. The network airs everything from England's biggest soccer games to American TV shows like Mad Men, and it has its own news channel. Roy Greenslade teaches media at City University London. He says the deal stands to make News Corp a lot of money.
The revenue from BSkyB is mammoth.
As in $9.5 billion last year. News Corp already owns 39% of the company. Now it's waiting for a green light from the British government to buy the rest, which raises concerns about the growing size of Murdoch's media empire. He's the biggest newspaper owner in the UK, with the Times of London and the Sun.
It is therefore felt that we will lose pluralism in our media if we allow him to gain full control of BSkyB.
In response to those concerns, Murdoch agreed to spin off Sky's news channel from the rest of the company. But Greenslade says Britain's newspapers have their own worries.
The greatest possibility is that what he would do is bundle his newspapers and BSkyB into an online offering that would be so great in its breadth, no one else could compete.
Claire Enders researches media markets. She says that bundling means a subscription to News Corp's satellite channels might include a subscription to its newspapers and free access to its paid online content.
Which would cause the person who gets that free subscription to stop going to the newsagent to pick up a newspaper or ordering one for home delivery or indeed consuming any other newspapers.
Those other newspapers have filed legal action opposing the deal. News Corp declined to comment for this story. Reports suggest the takeover will cost Murdoch over $16 billion. Roy Greenslade says the profits from the deal could allow News Corp to expand in the U.S. media market as well. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And finally, Forbes has released its latest rankings on the net worth of fictional characters. The magazine looks at real-world economic data to make its determination. Scrooge McDuck tops the list because of all his gold, saw his net worth skyrocket as the price of the yellow metal did. Texas tea titan Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies saw his fortune grow as the price of crude surged. It's now trading, by the way, at $111 a barrel. The real estate market in Atlantic City seen better days, so the board game king Mr. Monopoly fell a few spots on the ranking, but at least he still has free parking. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. Every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Bob Moon, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.